because we don't have YouTube.
Recording the planning board meeting, August 3rd, 2022.
Welcome to the August 3rd, 2022 Planning Board Public Hearing. This hearing comes to order. The Lyman Planning Board is holding this public hearing to review the request of Evo Site Services LLC for a new transmission telecommunications tower, 283 Middle Road, Map 4, Lot 43-5. This is a public proceeding. Unless the board specifically votes in an executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said and look at all the exhibits that are offered. Please notify the chairman if you are having difficulty seeing or hearing the presentation. This meeting is being recorded and televised on YouTube.
No, it's not televised.
Oh. Okay. This meeting is being recorded. All persons speaking will be asked to first state the name and address or affiliation. All questions or comments will be directed to and through the chairman. It is required that you sign the sign-in sheet to document your attendance at this meeting. All persons speaking are asked to speak once. The chairman will not recognize them to speak a second time or multiple times until everyone in the room has had a chance to speak once. We ask that concerns and comments are not repeated. Thank you in advance for your cooperation. Okay, if you'd like to explain the project to everybody.
Can I just make a quick comment? We have Mr. Bill Single here as an alternate member. Yeah, I guess you've even sworn in?
Yes.
And we also have our new code enforcement officer, Brent Charlin.
Oh, nice to meet you, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Glad this grew.
Seth?
Yes, we are.
My name is Chris Chalfie. I'm the principal of Evolution Site Services, and we are proposing a new cell tower at 283 Middle Road, property owned by Thomas Foster. What I have on the board right now, these two colorful maps are called propagation studies. This demonstrates why we need the facility. The green is coverage, acceptable strength of coverage, and the white is the area where it's not acceptable or there's little or no coverage. So on the map on the left, this blue star here is the proposed site location, and you see the large white area around it where there was little or no coverage, which it's hard to dispute. I was just down there and couldn't even receive a text, and the text would usually go through with almost anything, so it's very weak coverage. And then this, again, the map on the right-hand side, this dark blue area is where the coverage will be provided. So that's kind of why we're here. This is existing conditions. These are proposed conditions. Down on the bottom right-hand side of the board is the proposed tower type. This is a lattice-style freestanding tower. There are no guy wires, no FAA lights or beacons. It will be enclosed in a 75-foot by 75-foot chain-link fence, approximately 7 feet tall with 1 foot of barbed wire for security reasons. All of our equipment, all of our activities will be enclosed within the fenced-in compound. There'll be a gravel road approximately 800 feet long from the middle road that will follow along the property line and then turn into the property. On the middle of the map, this is kind of the existing conditions. There are some trails throughout the property. There are scattered trees. There aren't many of any real size. It's mostly small brush that will be removed and chipped. Those are the existing conditions. And then as part of the bylaw, the review is to identify existing towers in the area and analyze whether any of the existing towers could be used in place of proposing the new one. So the bottom left of the map shows areas from 1, 2, 3, and 4 miles away that we analyzed existing towers, and none of the existing towers are able to provide service to this targeted area. So sheet C1 of the plan set shows a survey that was prepared. It's a boundary, a meets and bounds survey. You'll see on the right-hand side, there's a dotted line that shows a proposed 30-foot easement, 30-foot wide easement, that then bears and goes to the compound area. We'll be leasing an area of 100 feet by 100 feet, and we'll enclose 75 by 75. Sheets. And the C3 sheets shows the lease area and then the fenced-in area inside.
Now, I got a question. How far from the property line is this?
Is the tower or the...
The tower.
The tower is 199 feet from the rear line, 267 from the west line, 205 from the east line, and over 750 to the front, to the middle road.
So there's no chance at all that going on somebody else's property falls?
Nope. It's over 100% of the tower height. So the tower is 155 feet tall plus a 4-foot lightning rod. And I believe the bylaw is 125% of the tower height. So it's not, it's designed to collapse upon itself if it were ever to fail. It's not designed to fall like a tree, but, you know, design. If it was a categorical failure or a structural failure, it still wouldn't fall on anyone else's property. It would remain on the landowner's property.
You know how close the tower itself is to the nearest residence?
I believe in your package, this middle's... We have prepared...
424.
So it varies the... I don't know if this was in the cap or after the fact. I can hand this to the board. The closest is 473 to the northwest, and then there are 624, 1,012, 792, so they vary. I believe this would be the best.
Is there a possibility that the cell tower height could be increased?
Could it be increased?
Yes.
It could be designed to be increased, but we're not proposing that. So if, as proposed, and if we are fortunate to receive the approvals, it would not be able to be increased. A lot of that has to do with the foundation itself. So if we, in some cases, we have designed them to go higher, but in that case, you design the foundation and the structure itself to add another 10 or 20 feet on it. In this case here, with your setback requirements and the structure itself, in the future, it could not be, it could not go any taller. And again, this is just a little more detail on the A1 sheet of the compound area. So this dotted line shows the foundation, which will be below grade. There'll be three piers that are of 6 inches above grade, but the majority of the foundation, it's a forward pad foundation, will be 6 feet below grade. And then there'll be equipment placed in the front right corner. And it's basically like large refrigerators of the size of that safe, maybe a little bit bigger than that safe, with cables that go up to the tower. Previously, back in the day, many years ago, we put in a equipment shelter, maybe 12 feet by 30 feet. But now they're weatherproof equipment that just stay on some concrete pads. Power and telephone we brought into the site on new utility poles overhead. And then when they are close to the site, they will go underground into a meter center. And then everything else in site will be underground. And the tower will be a lattice-style tower, freestanding, no guy wires. 155 feet tall, and because of that and the distance to the closest airport, there will not require any marking or lighting. So we are not proposing any lights on the property or on the project. If in the future, if one of the tenants, one of the carriers, puts us a light on their equipment, if it was switch operator for a technician is there after hours, they would shut that off. It's not something that if the wind blows, it keeps coming on and becoming a nuisance. But even that being said, the closest home is over 400 feet away through the trees and through the woods, so it's about a football field and a half, so to see a small light would be hard even if you wanted to. That's a general overview of why we need it, what we're proposing. I'd be happy to answer any questions, again through the chair or directly.
Sorry, aside from the access room, will the neighbor property surrounding the tower still remain wooded?
It will, yeah. And we have no control over that, but knowing the landowner personally, he has no plans to develop it any further. This will actually help him pay the taxes on it, and maintain the property. So he has a kennel as his business, but this will help kind of maintain the property and keep it as is.
Do you have a question?
Is this for 5G?
Could you state your name first?
My name is Susan Taylor. I was wondering if this was set up for 5G.
It may be. It may be. There are many different types of 5G, and this could be used right now. It would be used for LTE, which is long-term evolution, or 4G. But in the future, it could possibly be used for 5G, which is basically the same technology was previously assigned to CB radios. So, yes, it could be used for 5G.
Okay, sir, you go.
Brian Hammond, home property on Middle Road. Two questions. You said you didn't need a light on top.
Right.
There's an airport fairly close, and there's a lot of flight traffic over there. I'm just wondering how that was determined.
The FAA determination.
Okay.
So it's typically within 2 miles and or over 200 feet. So if this were 200-foot structure, it could be 10 miles away from an airport, and it would still require a light. If this were 75-foot tall structure and it was right next to the airport, it could require a light. So there's an analysis that they do depending on the height, flight path, the slope, and they determine whether it requires a light or not.
And one more question. Will that access road be gated?
Yes. Yeah. And we'll put either a Knox box on that. We'll have a lock for ourselves, and then many of the fire departments, and we put a combination lock, and we often give that combination to the fire department or the emergency services. But we have a site in Sanford, and they asked us to put a Knox lock on it, so they have like a master key, so the public safety will be able to get access.
And so it's far back in the woods, they're not concerned with vandalism? So you said there's trails through there and stuff?
Well, we've been fortunate that we haven't had any issues. Again, the landowner has a business on property, so he's on property most days. And, you know, we do what we can to prevent it, and hopefully we don't have any issues with that.
And one final question. I know this went through a few years ago and it was voted down. I wasn't involved with that. I'm just wondering what the history on that, why it was...
It was approved, actually.
It was approved, and what happened was is they waited too long and their permit ran out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then another company came in and got another permit for a cell tower, and theirs ran out. So now we're back to the original one.
So what happens a lot of times is the carriers are national and they have budgets and they have money allotted to certain areas. And if zoning proceedings or projects take too long, they may lose funding and shift that money somewhere else. And so I believe I wasn't involved with the previous one, but I believe what happened was they kind of changed their priorities. And by the time they came back, the town has a time clock on the approval that you have to reapply.
So you're not going to build this until you have somebody
contracted? I have a signed contract with someone that's ready to go.
One carrier?
At this point, one carrier.
Can you tell us who it is?
Not at this point.
So Jurassic, when can you divulge that information?
So we will let that sound.
Is it a major one?
It is one of the major carriers.
At what point could you tell us?
I will ask them. They've asked me not to mention their name at this point. But we do have a signed contract, and they are anxious to move forward with this.
Tom Hammond, I'm across the street from this project. If you get approval, how long does it take to construct?
About 2 or 3 months. So tower steel is about an 8 or 10 week lead time. So I've already bid that out. It's been a little bit of time with the steel prices. Hopefully the price has gone down and not up. They're crazy prices. But as soon as that's going to kind of dictate how quickly we get in there, I met with a contractor this evening to look at the road. He built the site for me over at Springdale. So we hopefully have it done before winter, before the end of the year, is the goal.
Is there another construction project elsewhere run? Came to my mind. At what time of day would the construction begin? At what time of day would the construction knock off?
It's typically 7 to 3:30, or 7 to 4, and especially if it gets later in the year and it gets darker earlier.
Right.
But it's typical construction schedule. You know, they're usually there about 7 to 4.
Can I follow up on that?
Yep. Do you have another question?
Yeah. You gonna get some heavy equipment in there, I assume?
Initially, so what we'll do is it's marked out now. First thing would be to clear the access road and clear the site. Then we build the road, probably like a 3-inch or 4-inch minus, you know, get a good base down there to accept heavy vehicles, put the road in, and then get the site prepped, dig the foundation hole, pour the foundation, let the foundation cook up, and backfill that. And while that is setting up, then we can kind of do some more stuff. So sequentially, it's getting the road in, getting the foundation in the ground.
Assuming stick build this.
Actually, what they do, they'll stick build it, but they'll typically do it in 20-foot sections, and then bring a crane in and then just set the 20-foot sections. So it goes pretty quickly. It'll be up in a day.
Does the town have any, like you say, they're putting 4-inch gravel or whatever, but if you're putting in a subdivision or a house, you have certain requirements to build that road. Are you going to require them to build it to town specs?
We never have. Because it's not a town, it's not a road to be traveling on. It's more of an easement through a property.
It's a driveway. It's a heavy-duty driveway. And we build it strong enough to support concrete trucks and 100-ton crane, which will be more than sufficient if there's ever an emergency and you have to get an emergency vehicle in there. But it's the details are on the town.
But does the road commissioner go check the road, or you don't even bother with that?
It's really per se not a road. It's not a road.
But equipment's going to go on it. It's no different than if I was building a house. The road commissioner's going to tell me, the culvert, and I need it. So much deeper gravel than this type of gravel.
It's a driveway. It's a driveway.
So is mine.
And we'll meet with the commissioner. If he requires a culvert, we'd be happy to.
This is more for the board. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you when I built my house, the road commissioner never came around.
They should nowadays. If you look at the zoning ordinance, there's certain requirements on the driveway specs.
Any more questions or comments? Don?
If anybody hadn't signed in, would you please sign in? I think a couple of members maybe didn't sign in there for the public hearing. Also, I'd like to point out that the planning board received a package from, written package from five. It wasn't signed, but it was that five Middle Road area residents identified themselves at the end, and it contained material. These individuals stated they were not in favor of the project and asked some questions, and they had about six or so excerpts from the internet. That one was on safe distances from mobile towers. One was on cell towers being exposing people to RF waves. One was on power lines and cell antennas lower property values. One was an excerpt from a FCC environmental assessment. And one was, another one was on electromagnetic fields. And some of these were a little extensive. And then there was another one on electromagnetic radiation. And if you didn't sign in, would you please sign in? Maybe you did already. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I got these Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. It came in a package to the town hall for the planning board. Copies had been provided to the planning board members and to the applicant for review and comment if they so desire. Also, I'd like to point out that the plans for this project are on the town website, and that was identified in the notice of public hearing that the plans would be available there. There's also a copy of the applicant's package that has a sign-out sheet, and it's at the front desk here. The last time I looked, nobody had signed it out. We asked that nobody, anybody wants to look at the details, they're available. The only request is not to take anything out of Town Hall so that we maintain a copy, the copy. So anyway, it's at the front desk. I don't think anybody has signed it out. We hadn't been doing this in the past, but it's a, I think, a more efficient way. If somebody wants to come and sit down and read the thing, they don't have to try to check it out from the code enforcement officer or some other office. They can sit here and read it at their leisure and see what's in it. So we're trying to be as open and transparent as possible about what the plans are and what the applicant has submitted.
If I can make one comment, I did have a quick opportunity to look through the packet that you provided, and I'd just like to make a couple of points on the record. The packet makes reference to electromagnetic radiation and electromagnetic fields, and they cite studies from all over the world as they relate to health effects. Now, the last page of tab 4, we've provided a study by an independent engineer that demonstrates that the proposed facility will be about 8% of the FCC standard. So it will be well within the requirements of the FCC. And as the board knows, the board can review this, but they can't make any determination based on health effects. So that is, you know, for the public to know that the board is precluded from that. The state is precluded from that. It's a federal issue that as long as we demonstrate that we are in compliance with the FCC, that's where it ends. You can make us do that. If there's a question, if it's getting close, you can have a third-party engineer review that. But as far as ruling on whether this causes health effects or has any effect, that has been taken from the board's hands, and that's a federal issue. And then there's also a comment in there about property values. What we're finding through recent studies, and actually there's an FCC, a government report, that more and more people are finding that home values are going down where there is not cell coverage. With more people relying 100% on cell phones and not having landline phones is a direct correlation that people aren't having their landline phones anymore. They have a cell phone at home and they can't use it. So it's tables have turned quite a bit, so there have not been, and these are government studies that have shown that people are less willing to buy if there is not self-service in the area. So those are just, I had a quick review of that, and I'd just like to get that on the record.
Just a quick question. Is there a distinction between EMF and RF?
Well, EMF is electromagnetic fields.
Right.
And RF is just radio frequency, more of a general term. So an RF engineer is a radio frequency engineer. They're doing the design of the signals, where the electromagnetic field is what is actually being transmitted from the signal.
Okay, from the oversimplification and inaccurate to say RF is wireless and EMF is wires?
I think RF could be everything. So the radio frequency. So I don't know what he has on here for frequencies, but if this is these two studies are with 700 megahertz LTE long-term evolution. So this is like a 4G pattern. So that's the radio frequency is 700 megahertz, and the radio frequency engineer designed this. But the electromagnetic radiation, or the fields, is in tab 4. That measures the wattage of what is produced from the equipment and from the antennas.
You also mentioned in tab 4 reference to the FCC's, like with better words, primacy on making determinations on public health. Right. Do you have a legal citation for that?
USC 47, USC 704, it's in the binder.
Yep. It's in the packet, so
yeah,
tab 4.
I'll get to that, yeah.
Okay.
Any more questions or comments? Well, if there's no more questions or comments, I'm going to make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, you have a seat.